You're listening to Syntax, the podcast with the tastiest web development treats out there. Strap yourself in and get ready. Here is Scott Tolinsky and Wes Boss.
Welcome to Syntax. Today we've got a Syntax highlight where we review your portfolios, websites, resumes, you name it. Scott and I are in no position to do this, but we're going to do it anyway. the idea is that we're going to just take a look at user-submitted websites and sort of give our ideas of things that we like, things that we don't like, things that could be possibly changed. And if you are trying to get a job, trying to up your job, this is a good episode to listen to because we talk about just like little things here and there that could make or break somebody passing on you and your website. We have three awesome companies sponsoring today. Sanity, which is a structured content CMS. LogRocket does JavaScript session replay. And Cloudinary does hosting image transformation. We'll talk about them partway through the episode. How you doing today, Mr. Scott Tolinsky?
Hey, I'm doing good. Big life news. We have bought and sold a house. So Woo! It is official. This is the first episode we've recorded since we've all closed and everything like that. Although we are not moving until August, but yeah, it has been very, very hectic over here and we're not going far. We're staying in Denver, but hey, we needed some bedrooms for our kids really is what it came down to. So our little 1920s bungalow is going to be gone for us. So unfortunately it's very sad at the same time, but man, I'm excited. My new house.
Your new place looks so sick.
It's pretty sick. And yeah, we have an external office, so I'm going to get to have my own full stack shack.
Did you decide on the name yet?
No, but you had so many good ones. So I'm just going to close my eyes and point at one of the ones that you picked out, like the Level Up Hut or something like that, which is very funny.
Let's see. What did I name it? The Code Abode, the Code Caboose, Level Up Lodge. I think Level Up Lodge would be good because you're in Colorado.
I'm in Colorado and our house is in like an aspen tree forest. It's not really, but like the previous owner planted like 1,000 aspen trees. So it's like,
there you go.
Yeah, very lodgy.
Syntax Shanty, the Level Hut tutorials, the Code Cottage, the Code Cave, the Tolinsky Tab, the Level Up Lodge. Oh, I said that one.
You came up with all of these in like 5 seconds. I was like, maybe had one in a, so you really have a future in naming coding shacks.
That is good. Yeah, I'm very curious to hear what you name it. And also, maybe we can have a little hasty on your, like, once you get it all set up.
Oh, yeah. My new setup's going to be dope. I think I'm going to change my paint color. We're going to see. Maybe we're not going to both do dark blue paint anymore. I might do black. I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll see.
There's nothing I like talking more about than desk setups and offices and things like that. So very, very into talking about that.
Yeah, well, I'm pumped. It's going to be my first real office that's not a bedroom. This is a bedroom office. My previous one is a bedroom office. And now I'm going to have an office. And it's going to be pretty cool. So I'm going to be very excited to move. And because of that, we're going to be taking some time off. But you guys won't know that. By just listening to the podcast, we're not going to miss any episodes, but we're recording a whole bunch a little bit early so that we can take a couple of months off for a little summer vacay while Scott moves and Wes hangs out at the cottage and all sorts of fun stuff.
A little swim, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, let's get into it here because we don't need to talk about this stuff anymore. Let's get into some portfolios. Now, the first one is going to be CUDD.io, CUD.io. This is Erica Cud, and her website has, well, one, I think it's Next.js. I think you can kind of tell just from the HTML, which is nice because she gets full server-side rendering on that stuff. And I love that when I'm looking at HTML and anything to see that in there. It's not necessarily like one of those, it's not a deal breaker or anything, but I love to see it. There are some neat things about this site. It has a really nice shared animation transition between the home and about page. I don't know if you have this open, Wes. If you click about in the nav, her photo goes from front and center to the side tab over there on the side and it animates nicely in between. Things slide up. Everything is very readable and clear. There's not a whole lot of you're not necessarily like, you know, where do I go? What do I do? What's going on here? So for the most part, it's all very readable and clear. It's simple. The portfolio is, here's four items, here's their links, here's their code links if they exist, and here's a one sentence description, and here's some tags about what they do. So all of that said, it is very, very, it's nice. And there's a lot of nice fluid motion between things. It's nice and simple. I do appreciate all of that. Not trying to get too crazy with the portfolio or anything. Some notes here for you, Erica. Check the color contrast on that white on blue. I fired it up in COOLORS.co contrast checker, which is actually a really nice site. And I posted the link in the show notes here so you can do that as well. Check that contrast because it is a pretty poor contrast ratio with that white on blue. And that is definitely something I noticed just by looking at it. But especially when you have such a thin font, it becomes pretty hard to be readable. So you'll probably want to adjust that in some sort of way. That's a tough one because, you know, that's your brand color here. So Wes, what would you do for this white on blue if you were trying to make this readable? I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Yeah, that's a good, I definitely bump up the weight to something like that. Maybe throw a little drop shadow on that type of thing. It's always hard with that type of stuff because like you clearly pick the font for your website and the color for your website. And sometimes those things don't work just because they're inaccessible or whatnot. So I would probably jack that up, the weight. You could also put some like background color on each of the links. There's probably something cool you could do with it because there's the whole nav itself is tilted, which I appreciate that kind of little quirkiness on a website. So it's probably something like quirky you could do with that to also make it background accessible.
Yeah, you're right. You could maybe, yeah, do something geometric there or something. But either way, the contrast is too low. So you'll want to take a look at that. I like your use of CSS variables, which are very nice. I peeped some CSS variables in there. That all looks nice. One thing is also on the projects page here, you have these cards. Now, I'm guessing that, Erica, you've primarily looked at this on a browser window that might be the aspect ratio would be like considered landscape, because anytime you're getting into this browser window, when the browser window is a little bit taller than it is wide or a little bit even just tall in general, you have these cards throughout the site that look like they're pinned essentially to take up the full height of the site. It looks kind of weird in some instances. Like for here on my portfolio, I'm seeing a ton of white space between the paragraph describing the text and the tags that you have that indicate the technology that this is made. So I would probably have them scoot up to the tallest content rather than having them stretch out to the very bottom. That's just a minor nitpick. The only reason I say that is because it looks like a mistake on my browser. It doesn't look like just especially because the tags are pushed down there. It looks like a little bit of a mistake. Another thing is the card headings for your projects are all H2s for the project name. Those should not be H2s. Those would probably be something like an H3 or an H4. If you think about it like this, your like page title, which is most typically your name, is going to be the H1. And then the section titles should be H2s. And then you could think of that if you have minor content in there like project titles, that's going to get into the H3, H4 territory. So just something to think about with your headings. But overall, a lot of great stuff going on. And I love that you thought about animations, you have server-side rendering. There's a lot of really neat stuff going on in here. So just get that contrast checked out and maybe some of those little small things. And I mean, this is a really nice site.
Yeah, I'm just looking. Oh, never mind. I was just going to say the one tricky thing that happens is if you have a logo that is an image, there's often no text. There is no text in this, but there is an ARIA label on it, which is great. So that is not actually an issue. The other thing is the GitHub, Twitter, LinkedIn resume links are very close to the bottom.
Yeah.
And so they're sort of hard to find, especially if you are on mobile or something like that. And for me, at least, that's something I look for immediately when I go to a developer's website. I was like, where's their Twitter? Where's their GitHub? Like if I'm like trying to say, look for a legitimizer, as Scott would say, to check somebody out online past their own website, I immediately go look for their GitHub and I look for their Twitter. And like these things don't need to be super popular or super like full of stuff. I just need to see that they're there. And I would probably put that as like a sub nav or maybe rework the whole nav and put those items in it. A lot of the other people we are doing today put them as like icons in their navigation or as like a side thing.
And I don't even think, I think if you bumped them up just ever a little bit away from the bottom right there, But you're right. If on mobile, that would get lost towards the bottom. I say this because I typically put my social links in the bottom as well. So your attack on social links in the bottom kind of feels like an attack on me personally. And I'm just joking, obviously.
And like, honestly, I do as well. Like I don't have links to my Twitter or GitHub or anything. Actually, I don't even have mine is in the footer, but like I color them a little different and I put a bit more space around them. Maybe that's a good approach as well.
I got rid of mine entirely, but I should probably put them back.
Next one we have here is Damon Bolstra, which is at damonbolstra.com. This one, I really like the design of this one. It seems like that seems to be a thing with a lot of these websites is that there's not too much design on it. And I think developers in general are a bit afraid to, I don't know, like I find most developer websites are very, very minimal and they all kind of look the same. This one definitely plays outside those boundaries. There's animation. There is some really cool mountains on the bottom. There is parallax scrolling, but like not obnoxious, just like kind of as you scroll, the stars move at different rates. There's a little bit of animation, some 3D stuff, just all around like really good amount of stuff. The one thing that is weird to me is that the nav on the sidebar only comes out when you scroll like 30 pixels down. So like I know from experience that a lot of people visit a website and then fold their hands and sit there and look at it. And relying on people to scroll to trigger things is sometimes very confusing to them, or they might just miss it.
It's a duplication of the top nav, though.
Oh, you're right. So, okay. It only shows up when the nav is scrolled past. Okay, I take that back then, Damon.
I didn't want to interrupt you, but I figured I would let you go wherever you're going to go with
it. And then come back and put it in my face. No, that's good. Okay, so that also is a good point. Is like sometimes you're getting feedback from people, and those people are just not very smart. And they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I personally haven't seen, you know, you typically when you see that, like the header and you scroll and something happens with the nav, it's not a super common pattern. And honestly, if it was me, what I would do is just nix that top nav entirely and have only the side one and not have it come and go and just leave it there the whole time and then just not have to worry about that, because it's like you're duplicating that navigation and also that, but like the links aren't even like the same. So to give explanation for visualists or people listening to this, the links in the top navigation are links, right? They're just text links, but the ones in the sidebar that slide in, they look like buttons, right? They explicitly look like buttons. So I would style those to be the same because they are the same thing. So if you're going to have them be, you know, one coming in and one going, style them to be the same thing. I don't think those need the whole button treatment. They can get the same treatment, especially because many of the buttons on the site link externally, whether it's a visit site or view on GitHub. So I would look at those buttons and think maybe those are external links or something. There are some like neat things about the site. I think it's very, very cool. It is a bit janky on my machine. I don't know what or why. I don't know if it's janky for you, Wes, but the scroll, when I'm scrolling, it's having a hard time for me.
It's buttery for me.
Okay. It could just be that my computer is like, I don't know what's going on with the CPU in my computer, but there's a lot of stuff going on in the site. I would also say maybe some of your patterns are a bit clashy. I know that this seems like it's trying to be a bit clashy, but there are some, you know, stripes and circles issues going on here with, you know, you might want to at least make it a little bit more cohesive because some of the stuff is a lot of fun, but it definitely feels like a little clashy.
Yeah, it doesn't look intentionally clashy. I think that's what Scott's saying here.
Yeah, right. It's not trying to be like brutalist or whatever, but there are still some issues where it is clashing.
Yeah. One thing, and I'm going to say this about a lot of the stuff that comes up, I'll just say it all now, is that if you throw the Axe Dev Tools on your browser and run it on your page, there's, I don't know, 50 or so issues that pop up that you could fix very quickly, like in probably half an hour. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just saying that because they're a sponsor of our podcast. I'm saying that because if somebody's looking to hire you and accessibility is something they care about for their developers, which is most often the case, they are going to run an accessibility test And if they see things like images that don't have alt text or buttons that cannot be keyboard focused or just like low hanging fruit in accessibility world, like this kind of stuff should be done regardless of like in my mind, having the very easy accessibility stuff not on your website, it's like having a link or having a broken image on your website, mm-hmm. kind of the same area. I was like, oh, why did you overlook that thing? That was such a simple thing to fix. So I would get the Axe DevTools for your Chrome extension or Firefox, open up in your DevTools, check for issues, all issues, and then it runs a little thing and it will find all kinds of little quick fixes. So I would run that, make sure you do that.
And I think that's such a good point because there's so many like nice touches on this site where you have the stars, you have the mountains, the moon, the sort of vibes. You have a lot of like really nice things, but then there are situations where, like you said, if you run that really negates a lot of that nice stuff, right? It's like you've built up this goodwill with some of the cool stuff, but then you're kind of taking it away. Another thing, you know what? I don't know how you feel about this, Wes, but like, you know what? I don't need this whole circuit board background business. The stars and moon background is so nice, but then you're blocking it with a bunch of other backgrounds and a bunch of other textures. I think if you were to get rid of that circuit board and have it just go straight through to the stars and stuff, and then you have, maybe you could keep the sites heading that way, and then it's going to be less clashy. And same with the games. I don't need this Asteroids video game going on behind it. You already have a nice background. So you're just kind of like layering thing on thing on thing, and it can feel very overwhelming.
I think what is fun about this is that it's obviously a playground for learning and trying new things. And what I've seen people do in the past is instead of putting it all on one page, like write a blog post about what you learned and then use those effects in like the Asteroids canvas background. Like put that on a separate page.
Yes.
Write a blog post about how you implemented it or have like a little area called
experiments.
Yeah, exactly. And just like try that stuff out on different random pages. Cause it's clearly, it shows me that you love having fun with this stuff. And it's impressive that you figured out how to make all this stuff work, but maybe put them on separate pages to display that.
You know, I think that's such a good point too, because if I see this as a site and they're using like an Asteroids game in the background, I'm saying, you know, that doesn't work for me. It feels like it's too much. It feels like it's distracting or taking away. But then in the same regard, like you said, if there was an experiment section of the site where they had a blog post saying, hey, I made this cool Asteroids thing, then that suddenly goes from a detriment to a plus to me. I'm looking at that and saying, oh, cool, this person is experimenting. They're trying new things. This is fun. This is interesting. But you know, it's like in Top Chef or whatever, when they're trying to throw all the tricks they know into one dish, you don't need to throw all the tricks you know into one dish. You can make several little mini dishes that are, you know, showcasing those tricks to their fullest extent.
That's a good point.
Or even like, yeah, making it a little tastier.
Scott's on fire with the explanations today. We just recorded another one on buzzwords and he had some good ones in there too.
Well, the one on buzzwords was stolen from somebody else, but you know, they're both food explanations here. And maybe that's just because Landon ate all of our granola bars that we have for breakfast. He woke up early yesterday and the first thing Courtney says is, Landon, can you tell Dad how many granola bars you ate this morning? He just went in the pantry and went.
How many did he eat?
It was like 3 or 4, but it was like all of the ones that we had had for the week. It was like, you know, you buy a bunch of the RX bar. It was the RX bar. So they weren't cheapos.
Oh, that's hilarious. One of our kids did that with yogurt the other day where they just like, they had like 3 yogurts with Caitlin. And then I came over and took over and they had a couple with me. And then they're like, my tummy hurts. And we're like, well, how many yogurts did you have? Like, 6.
I wonder why. I wonder why your tummy hurts. Yeah. Oh, one more small thing. I don't want to seem like we're ripping on you. There's a lot of cool stuff in this site. So, you know, just take that.
Yeah.
Border radius. This is a common pet peeve amongst people. When you have a container that has border radius and then you have padding inset and then you have what is the same border radius, that doesn't work. There's a formula for doing it where the padding needs to be taken into account from the border radius. So Google padding border radius design or something like that. You'll find some explanation as to what you need to do here. But the long story short is if your card has a specific border radius, those images should have a tighter border radius rather than a wider border radius. So that way the corners line up and they don't look like they're this weird corner.
Yes.
That's like a little minor design nitpick, but people will have that nitpick.
At the very very least just eyeball it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder what the math is.
Well, the math is just padding plus the number, I think. So whatever the padding is, if it's 10 pixels, I think you can just count on adding 10 pixels or minusing 10 pixels from the border radius. I think that's what it is, though.
Okay. That makes sense, I think.
You know what else makes sense?
What?
Using one of our sponsors today. And I'm talking about one of the sponsors that will be the perfect backend data source for you because it allows you to have the flexibility that you need when working in modern sites. I'm talking about Sanity at sanity.io. Wes, you want to hit them with Sanity.
I want to hit you with Sanity. Sanity is a structured content CMS. So it's a service, but the way that you start with the service is you NPM install it and you can initialize a project. You create all your content types, you create your relationships, and it gives you this thing called Sanity Studio, which, best of both worlds, is already done for you, but it's code that runs on your machine, on your host, wherever you want to actually run it. Like, it's like a full-blown product that they give to you. And then you can add code to it, which like props to them for doing that, because imagine running a company where you basically just give the code to run the product to your users and say, here you go. You can customize it if you want, which it just shows how good the actual Sanity Studio is, where it's just like done for you, but you can edit and make new components, make new inputs and add any custom validations that you want, any custom relationships between your data. If you're working on a project and you need a CMS for your project, they do images and all that good stuff as well. Whether you're pulling that into a Vue or Svelte or using GraphQL or hosting a Netlify or a React app, literally anything it will work with. Check it out. Sanity.io/syntax. And that is going to give you double the free usage tier. So you can just go ham on your next project. Thank you, Sanity, for sponsoring.
Sick. All right. This next one's from Walter K. Jenkins. This is Walter Jenkins' site. It is pretty cool. He says, Walter Jenkins maps plus data plus processing. And he's got a neat map of a city. I'm not sure what the city is. It is not Denver. I can tell you that. But it is a city and it's a map and it's got some data points on it. It's pretty neat. And so this site's really neat. It has a very common structure where you have nav in the top right. It's a single page app in the truest sense where you click on an item and it scrolls you down to the current section, or at least it hops you down. It doesn't necessarily scroll you, which honestly, I don't really mind that either way. I don't need it to visually scroll my site. And so it has the first initial page is this big, clean, and honestly nice spacing. You have a text that is a scrolly or a cursive-y font, but he actually took the care to put a border around it, a border on the font, which, believe it or not, makes it way more readable on this map, despite the fact that the map's not that intense. And it's the same background-ish color as the map.
Yeah, it uses text shadow.
It's using text shadow?
Yeah, it's using a couple text shadows to sort of go up and over and down and left.
Okay, yeah. So it's using the text shadow trick to make a border essentially around the text without it necessarily being a shadow. There are some really nice things about this site. Forgive me, Walter, if I don't spend a ton of time on the nice stuff, because the nice stuff is nice. Overall, it's a very, nice looking site. Some of my nitpicks about this site would be the header structure of it. For instance, you got a lot of H2s in here. For instance, your maps, data, and processing headers, these little buttons here are at like the very first sections. Those are just little headers. I don't think those should be whatever they are. Same with, the blog and projects and stuff. Those can be H2s. But to me, it seems like these little maps, data processing, those can be H4s, even H3s, I guess, if you don't have any H4s. Nitpick right there, huh? Another one would be the whole transparency on this content section. It's not a huge problem for me to read this, but I feel like some people would have a hard time reading the text in this section with the transparency of the background.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you could make this more opaque or even completely opaque and not transparent at all. But that's just me personally. We get a good look at the map. I know you want to show off that map and say, hey, here's this map behind here. But we get a good look at the map. So I don't know if we need to see the map through the rest of the site. Minor nitpick in your CSS here, your whole heading Walter Jenkins part has some height issues. So this is like very, very minor, but like go ahead and try to select the text that says maps. You can't do it unless you start lower, because that header, if you inspect element on that, the initial Walter Jenkins header, the header actually sits on top of that section. So that's one of those things that you won't notice. But if you look and maybe highlight an inspect element or something, you'll see that. And it's not a huge concern. But if I was somebody and I'm trying to double click on maps to inspect maps, it's not going to let me do it. Going to inspect that header because it's sitting on top of it. Again, minor nitpick there. Another one, you have continue to your repo in a cursive, like sort of like a cartoony cursive font. Just make that a bold, normal sans serif font. That thing being cursive, it's too small, too hard to read. A lot of people will have issues with that. It's not helping you being in cursive. So just make it a bold underlined text, a little bit bigger, maybe the same font size as your heading there, because the headings aren't super huge. That's a lot of my things. Maybe there's some contrast issues on those tags as well. We have a white on orange, so we want to make sure that we throw that through a contrast checker and check the contrast. Just an eyeball in it looks kind of weird. The last one is the last section where you have those three social links. Feels kind of unfinished, feels kind of out of order. So what I would do is make that section either the height of those links, just tune it up so you don't need a full screen version of that, or put some maybe like a header that says social links or contact me here or something like that. Maybe some text labels on there just to fill it out a little bit more. But you have this big open space and then just like three links kind of randomly inserted in there. So just a heads up there, looks a little unfinished in that last section. But overall, nice stuff. I think the colors are nice. The vibe is nice. You know, that cursive font really does work for that main header. I might only leave it in the main header and then just drop it everywhere else if it was me. But overall, you know, cool stuff.
Yeah, the dots just moved on me. And then that got me curious to what the dots were. So I went into DevTools and I was watching it, and it's the St. Louis Transit System. I think that's where all their buses are.
Oh, okay.
Super cool. And what I would do is put like a little blinking or like a countdown clock to when that changes, because like that might just have been a screenshot to me. But the fact that it's actual live data, that's wicked. So maybe flex that a little bit more.
You could even like have like a little question mark or something. You could hover over it and it could give you a little about this. Like, what's going on here? Oh, this is the St. Louis Transit System and it updates here. Like, I mean, I want to know about this because this does feel like a nice little, or almost like a little experiment.
One thing that I immediately saw when the page load is, and it gave off a bit, like, I don't mean to be rude here, but it gave off a bit of a like amateur vibe to it, was that I could tell that the font was bolder than the font was meant to be. So I went into DevTools, and this happens a lot because people just go and get a Google font. Like this one's called Pacifico, and Pacifico has one weight. But if you just apply that to things that in the browser that are already bold, like all of the heading tags already have a heavy weight on them, then the browser will attempt to make them bolder. It will fake bold them. And I could, I don't necessarily have a super good typographic eye, but I could tell they were bolder than they had to be. So I just went into my dev tools and just did font weight like 250 or 100 or something like that, just to unset the fake bold. And it looks way better.
Yeah.
So like everywhere on the blog, all of these headings are using this fake bold and they're just a little bit too pudgy. And whoever made this font obviously did a good job making it look good. So take that fake bold off of all of your headings and it will look really, really good. It makes it look so much more crisp. And the rest of the website is very crisp. This map is super crisp. Mm-hmm. The colors work together really well. So going a little bit further with that would really
That's
help.
Such a good,
otherwise, I think Scott did a good job. I would make the navigation links a little bit more bold. Sorry, I'm on my slow internet right now. I keep cutting Scott off. What's up?
No, I was just going to say that's a very common thing. That's a very common thing. And so it's like, shout out to like anybody, check your font weights, check sure. Even if the font can go to 800 or 900, make sure you're loading the 800 or 900 variant of that. Because like what you said, Wes, the browser will attempt to fake bold it. And that fake bold always looks a little bit off.
Yeah, if there's no weight for that, don't use it. Just use the ones that come along. And I'm just checking the Pacifico. There's only a regular. Yeah. So there is no bold version of it. So take that off. Otherwise, good job. I think this is a nice looking. I'm a sucker for this like royal dark dusty blue. So big fan of that. Next one we have is suhit.me. That is an awesome domain name. Obviously, Suhit is his first name. And I'm going to go ahead and say this is an example of a website that has polish that looks really, really good. So when I often, when we look at these websites, I say, you know what? The site looks good, but there's a difference between like, this is one of my first websites and this website has polish. And I don't know if this is a template or not, but this thing looks awesome. So whatever had been done here, Suhit did an awesome job. Why is the design on point? The fonts are really smooth. The colors aren't offensive. The padding is done really, really well. Pretty much everything on this website, I am a big fan of. It uses Inter font, which is like everybody's using Inter font on their website right now. And I can't get enough of it. Every time I see it, I'm like, ooh, what's that font? I like that. There's fun little animations throughout the website. So if you hover over top of the picture of them, it moves the photo just a little bit. Those types of things, we talk about whimsy on the podcast a lot. Those types of things add a little bit of whimsy to your website. And it makes the person who's on the website go, okay, I see what they did here. They made themselves a website, but then they went 10% further and polished it up. And then they went another 10% and added these little Easter eggs into the website so that when I'm visiting the website, there goes little bits of like, ooh, I can't believe they did that. They thought about me. Like, I have the most basic whimsy on my website, which is you go to westboss.com. And if you have a very large screen, it says, wow, you have a big monitor. And like at least once a day, I get an email or a tweet from somebody being like, nice, Wes, nice. You know, like those little things are fun for someone who visits your website.
I think, you know, besides this site looking amazing. So congrats. Suhit, the site is awesome. I think it looks great. The text is good. The spacing's good. There's a lot of like nice little niceties. The spice that you've added here works well as spice. It's not overpowering the dish. You know what I really like about what you just talked about, Wes, is when I used to make music a lot, one of the biggest issues that people had when they made music, because I went to music school for basically music production. And one of the biggest issues that people would have would be that they really liked this particular instrument VST or this little particular sound they like. So what do they do? Throw it in there, whole bunch. And the professors would always be, wouldn't this note or wouldn't this thing be way more effective if you did it once in the course of a 4-minute long song? You did it once for about 5 seconds rather than repeatedly. And that was the hardest thing to learn, was that restraint. And while this site does have a lot of like really cool little things, if you compare this to some of the other ones that we've looked at that have cool little things, but maybe too many cool things, this site has a lot of restraint because you have this really cool animation stuff going on in the top, and you have some neat little things like that, the clipping of the photo and the X and things like that. But once you get to sections like the projects where the information is about your project, I mean, this is all about the projects here. It's white background, bold text for the headings, very readable, not overly designed, not like nothing getting in the way here. And it feels very much like, here is my stuff. Here's how it is. And if you want some nice stuff, there's some nice stuff here too. Those West Boss elements, like you were saying, like that, wow, you have a big screen stuff. That stuff should not be there. Those Easter eggs should not be smacking you in the face. They should be, like you said, for the few people who will attempt to like just poke and prod on the site. That's when they should show up. They shouldn't show up for every person. I know some of those little fun techniques are really that you want to share them with everybody. But at the end of the day, I think this is a really well executed version of fun stuff, but not too much fun stuff.
The resume on this one is really a really good example of a resume as well. If you click through it, all the resumes here are in PDF version. And I'm not sure, what do you think about that? If you had a resume, would you do a HTML version and then have an option to download PDF, or would you just go straight to PDF download?
It defaults to opening it in the browser, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I would have it do that and just have a default opening in the browser. I don't know. PDF is weird in general. You know, I would probably, because this is what I've done in the past, I would probably make it into a web page itself and then also have the PDF available to download from that page. Because that's what I like. You know, when I used to have my resume on my site, I had my resume on the site and not just as a PDF. But I understand, you know, keeping that up to date and everything. So, yeah, no, it's a tough call.
Yeah. This is a good example of a resume. It's a little bit crowded, but it is a single page. I think it could have a little color added to it. But besides that, if I just scan it really quickly, TypeScript, React, Next.js, Rust, R, bolded, C#, WebGL, bolded. I can just quickly scan it. The phone number, email address is all up top. It says GitHub colon and then links to the GitHub, and same with LinkedIn. I don't think it seems a bit unnecessary to put the word GitHub colon in front of github.com. We know what GitHub and LinkedIn is because it says it in the URL. So probably you can get rid of that. That will clear up a little bit of the cluttedness. But like, this is just an awesome example. If you want a good example of a resume, I think that this is it, because you can click through to actual work. Like, this is not just like, I worked with a big team and made amazing projects. It's like, I built this thing with this technology and here's the link. You know, like, you can actually go and see it right now, which is really nice when you can possibly do that. So same thing with the, even on Suhit's GitHub, this is something I need to do. So he spent the time and did a custom README on the GitHub, which is, I'm currently working on 123. I'm currently learning 123. Here's how to reach me. Here's my URL. So A+.
You know what I did for my GitHub README? I just like copied and pasted. Like I came up with a bunch of words to describe the stuff that I do and I'm into. And I just like wrote them down on my thing in like an H2 or something. And I just like copied and pasted those in my GitHub README. It's just like, okay, whatever. This is it. This is all you know.
That's good.
Yeah. You know what else is good, Wes?
What is good?
LogRocket. LogRocket is honestly one of the best rockets you can be on, because this is a rocket that shows you how your errors and exceptions happen in a scrubbable video replay. So you sign up for this service, you drop a small little script on your site, kind of like a Google Analytics deal. And then what you do is you just wait for those errors to roll in, because you know what? We build stuff and errors, they roll in. They just happen whenever you build in anything. And so what this allows you to do is get a scrubbable video replay to see those errors and exceptions as they happen. And you get to see the user's clicks, you get the network tab, you get the error logs, you get all of that stuff and more. If you use Redux, you even get that Redux dev tools up in there. So it is so very cool. Check it out at logrocket.com/syntax, and you will get 14 days for free. So thank you so much for LogRocket for sponsoring. All right, next site here is from Jacob. It's Pawlak. Pawlak. I don't know this for certain, but that sounds kind of Polish. I might be making that up. I honestly have no idea if that's the correct pronunciation. So Jacob, I'm so sorry if you are one Polish, two not having a last name of Pawlak as it's pronounced. So okay, all that out of the way, let's talk about your site. A lot of really cool stuff going on here. There's an initial page loading that feels really great. It does this like sliding panes thing. And it even works if you're on the page and just hit Command R. It does like these squares slide in front, and then the site's revealed. And then once the site's revealed, there's no layout shift happening. Your photo loads in, and that's like really, really great. So for me, that loading animation is a big, big win. I think it's fantastic. And it happens when you change pages. Although, I just went to change to go to the contact page, and I don't know why, but it took a long time. And I kind of felt like the site was maybe not doing anything for a second. So I'm not sure why that page load took a long time to go to the contact section. Maybe want to check that out. Maybe it's just my internet. Who knows? Either way, I think there's a lot of things that are working really well. For the most part, I think the typography looks really great. The heading sizes and everything look good in terms of the size and the spacing, where you have your heading text, your next paragraph, your next paragraph, your next paragraph. Everything looks very cohesive there. I'm not sure if I 100% love the text transform uppercase for the serif font in the navigation. I might just make that normal, not all uppercase, but you know, that's just me. We got to be very careful about our HTML here, because like I said, everything looks great. And I think you don't want the aesthetic of any of these things to change, right? But Okay, hi, I'm Jacob. That's an H1. Then you have a huge paragraph, and it's actually two paragraphs. And believe it or not, here's a little Easter egg. Wes, go ahead and double click on that main paragraph or that very first one under hi, I'm Jacob.
I saw that when I was initially looking at it. For some reason, I'm always just, when I'm visiting websites, I'm just selecting text. Is that something you do as well?
Yeah, me too.
Sometimes people have like awful colors with their highlight. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I can't read this when I'm highlighting it. So good job here.
So Jacob has a little white text on the white background, so you can only see it when you're highlighting. He's doing this intentionally. It's a nice little Easter egg. And I think this is the exact kind of stuff we're talking about. It's not smacking you in the face, but it's here for people like Wes and I. But what I wanted to talk about was this HTML here. So hi, I'm Jacob has an H1, but then you have like three straight sentences in a paragraph, and all of those are an H3. That ain't a heading, Jacob. That's some body text. So just style that.
That's a P if I've ever seen one.
That's some body text if I've ever seen it. And believe it or not, Wes, if you go to the very next paragraph, which is even longer, that's an H4. So Jacob, you got some H issues here where like, these are just paragraphs, and I know it's important paragraphs, but please make them paragraphs. The heading should be headings, 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 like recent projects, some stuff I like. Those are headings. But then even the text under recent projects, where here are a few of my recent completed projects for more complete. That's an H4, I think. That should not be an H4 or an H5 or whatever. That should be a paragraph as well.
If you need like a good explanation as to like why these shouldn't be different heading values, go and listen to episode 354 on the surprisingly exciting world of HTML elements. And I'll explain like why you need to make sure you have headings and paragraphs in the right order, not just the font size you want for each of them.
Yeah. Because like I said, the visually, they look as they should look. So you don't want to change that, but they should be paragraphs. Another thing is here, you have this really gorgeous view button that's like a circle that follows over your mouse when you're like hovering over some of your recent projects. I really like it, but I kind of hate that it follows my mouse. And I would like this more if this just appeared as like an indicator on each image individually, because I'm the type of person who uses my mouse to like look at things. I know that seems weird, but like if I'm hovering over the Inktoberfest, I suddenly cannot read that word, or like, oh, I want to hover over the very next one. So my mouse immediately goes to the center to hover over it, and then it hovers over in that view text. Sits on top of the words entirely, and now I can't read it. Again, this is just a me thing, how I use sites, but I have a feeling like other people do.
Yeah, I love it.
See, you love it, yeah.
It doesn't just like use the X and Y coordinates. Like it uses like a Bezier curve to animate it in. So if you move it really quickly, it takes a split second to catch up.
Yeah, it's like a spring.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if it was behind the text and I could still read whatever the title was, you put a little slight drop shadow on there and you have it sitting behind it, maybe that would work better for me. Something about it just makes it hard for me to read whatever I'm trying to read at that moment. But overall, you know, Jacob, I really like the aesthetic of the site. The slideshow in the bottom is not really super usable. I guess you have to click it to load it, or you have to click the little tiny little arrows or the little tiny little segments at the bottom. There's no like arrows to scroll through, and it doesn't auto scroll through. So just either make that auto scroll through or put some little arrows on the side of it or something. Other than that, great work.
I really like the portfolio section of this, because if you have nice looking work, using that as part of your portfolio. So in this case, he's got some t-shirts, some really nice photos that were taken. And just integrating those photos into the design is really key. So good job on that. I think more people need to do that, especially if you work on a website that was professionally designed. If your website doesn't look that good, then you can use screenshots and mock-ups of the actual image. There's some SSL issues on some of the pages, specifically the t-shirt page. It's just a link was used for HTTP, or a link to an image. Just fix that, because that will throw a security issue on some people's browsers, because it's mixed content, and that could be actual issues. The design of the resume looks really good. So this is another, if you want a good example of a resume, go and check this resume out. There's different colors of the resume that you can download, which I think is funny. I initially was like, what are the different colors mean? But I think I got it pretty quickly. So it's a nice layout of the resume. The one thing is, if you download one of the resumes, then the animation to the page starts, but it never finishes, because at least in my browser, I downloaded the PDF. So it just leaves you on that gray transition. So maybe add like a timer to say like, all right, if this thing hasn't transitioned back to the page after 4 seconds, then explicitly take it off. And then the last thing on the t-shirts page, the text is white and it is overlaying a white piece of the photo and you just can't read it at all. So you probably have to pop a black background or a transparent background on that sucker when you have images in the background. But overall, this is a really nice looking clean website and it makes me feel very calm to read it.
I agree. It also makes me calm. You know what else makes me calm is one of our sponsors, Cloudinary. Cloudinary, it makes me calm because honestly, dealing with issues is great, but you know, there's so many formats today. All these formats, what am I gonna, I can't hold all these formats. I can't even, I don't know which ones to use when and where and how
floor
and what.
Mats. I was like, floor mats?
Floor mats. Yeah, all these floor mats. What are you talking about, Wes? But these formats, we have all these, the ability to do so many cool things in images, but Cloudinary really makes it even that much cooler because now if you wanna serve the right image to the right browser, all you have to do is say format auto on that thing in a URL, and Cloudinary will serve up the right smallest image for that particular user. It's so very cool. And on top of that, but there's a ton of additional transformation tools. If you want to serve up an image that focuses on somebody's face, you want to make it an old-timey sepia photo, you want West Boss in there, whatever, you could do so many cool things with Cloudinary Transforms on demand. And what's so cool about it being on demand is that the very first time somebody requests that specific image, quality, size, whatever, it creates it on the spot, and every other time it saves it, caches it, and keeps it there in Cloudinary. So the next time somebody else goes to request that same image, it loads instantaneously. Not that it doesn't the first time, but even faster than the first time. I've been using Cloudinary on Level Up Tutorials for a long time now, like since we started, even before we started the podcast, really. And it is really my favorite image hosting service. So check it out at cloudinary.com. We'll have a link in the show notes for you to click on and let them know that you heard about Cloudinary from Syntax. So give it a try here and you will not be disappointed. So thank you so much for Cloudinary for sponsoring.
The Cloudinary website, they've been like rolling out little design tweaks here and there. Every time I look at it, they're doing border radius right. We were talking about border radius earlier. They're in design with all the border radius on it. They're like fully embracing the like heavy border radius trend. And I think they've done a good job. It looks really good. Last one we have here is Martin Van Hoof. So first of all, props to being a Dutch person. I really like Dutch people. Not that I don't like other people, but I very much like Dutch people. This is, I'm going to call this the subtle flex of the skills. So Martin is obviously very talented, but there's a lot in this website that shows that Martin's got the skills. It's not in your face. There's not asteroids being thrown around. I'm sure Martin could do asteroids, but this is very, very subtle. Lots of attention to detail in the little bits of this website. It's very fast to transition from page to page, which I think is something that people lose when they do these single page portfolio pages, because you don't get that opportunity to wow the visitor when they switch from page to page and it goes really, really fast. Mm-hmm. Like go to Martin's website. It's martnvh.com and just click from page to page and see how quickly it transitions and like the navigation never budges. It's always there.
It is so good.
So good. The outline of the text. How do you do outline of text like that? What is that using?
That's a great question. I mean, it could be using Box Shadow. Let's check it out. Could be SVG.
WebKit Text Stroke.
WebKit Text Stroke.
And WebKit Text Stroke is supported in Firefox. Did you know that?
That is odd.
Is TextStroke is not a, is that a standard yet?
But why would it be WebKit TextStroke? I mean, why wouldn't they just have a TextStroke for Firefox?
They don't, because TextStroke is this is from the docs. The feature is non-standard and is not on a standards track. Do not use it on production sites. So what happened is that WebKit just threw it in. They put it behind a vendor prefix because they say you shouldn't use this, but nobody listened. And then everyone complains that Firefox doesn't support this imaginary API called TextStroke. So they implemented WebKit TextStroke in Firefox. And now we have this standard, non-standardized CSS API.
And it works in everything except for an Internet Explorer. So by all means, it seems fine to me. That's wild. I didn't know too much about this. Martin, I love this site. I think it's fantastic. My favorite thing about it is the play that you have with the main logo, where they're a little bit overlapped. One's outlined, one's not. You hover over it and they go kind of on top of each other. It is very good. I love the hover states where you can see the words. You know, there's some contrast issues here and there trying to read it, but it feels like it's intentionally having issues in terms of like, it's like almost like a brutalist thing rather than like, you know, I absolutely want you to read this. It's almost like the words in those situations are less important. So, you know, I don't necessarily mind that aspect of it. There's a lot of little, even subtle things, like when you're navigating from page to page, it says front end developer, whatever, that little fade in that it does is a little just super nice. Every single thing on this site, I think, is very nice. So shout out to you, Martin. I think this is a fantastic site. Looks great. Feels great. Yeah.
One thing here I got beef with is the email button. So if you want to email him, I have not set up my like email thing. So when I hover over it, I immediately look to the bottom left and say, what is his email? And it's not in there. So how do I know what your email is? Mm-hmm. So I click it and then it opens up Chrome Stable, which is not a browser I ever use. And then tries to make me sign into whatever. And I have, I'm pretty sure I have that set up. It might be because it's trying to dodge like spam filters where it doesn't explicitly show it. But I would much prefer that just be a MailTo link. And then you right click, copy email address. But it's probably spam now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, I have some beef too with the headings now that I've checked your HTML. I'm sorry, Martin. I love the aesthetic of your site, but there's a lot of heading issues. We're like, let's see, I'm trying to get this to load here. We're like things like your, if you go to projects, each one of your individual projects is all in an H1. That's a no-go, or at least half of it is an H1. It's kind of weird. It's almost like you are using the heading tags for their visual aesthetic rather than like what they are. Like if you have a project, some of them will be like the H1 is the first part of it. And then an H2 is the second part of it for the individual project. But then you even get into the, I'm trying to look through your HTML here. Hold on 1 second. Let's do a find for H2s. For instance, on the project page, let's see. Yeah, each one of your projects is an H2, H1. How many H1s are there? There's a whole bunch of H1s in here when you really just want one per page. So just keep that in mind. Just basically go through and I would just say one H1 per page, most likely one H2 per page. And then the individual project should probably be an H3. But yeah, other than that, I mean, aesthetically, this thing is rock solid. So just fix up that HTML, take a good look at it. And I think this thing looks great.
Good example of a minimalist site, I would think, because sometimes people think a minimalist site is just a link to their email and then they get hundreds on Lighthouse score. But this is an example of a real website, but still maintains a minimalist look. So great job. That is it for all of our portfolios and websites to review. Hopefully you enjoyed that. We don't have a way right now for people to submit them. I know that there was a couple of people who said, can I submit mine? And I said, absolutely. Let me know when it's finished. And then they sent them to me and then I lost them. So I apologize if you sent it to me. We'll make some sort of submission form or whatever at some point so you can submit yours. If you enjoyed this, let us know. At Syntax FM, we're still trying to hone in on what this syntax highlight looks like. So if there's parts you do or don't like, let us know. And we'll take that into account for the next one.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we're just trying to provide value for the people who would like some notes or feedback on their work. They don't know what it is or why they're not getting maybe the interest that they're wanting to when they're sharing their portfolio to potential employers or things like that. But we also do want to call out some really, really shining examples like Martin's that are just, you know, like if I were to see that in my, you know, somebody were to send me that as like a potential candidate, I would be interested because I think it's very, very good work, right? It's important that we show all kinds of things. And again, if we have anything critical to say about your work, we're here to help right now. And that's the whole goal of these episodes here, is to not only help you, but to get people thinking about what are the types of things that different job reviewers or portfolio reviewers are going to be looking at, or the types of holes that we can poke through it before somebody else is poking those holes into it while you're at a place of a little bit more higher stakes. So that is it for this syntax highlight. Let's get into the sick picks part of the show, where we pick things that we find to be pretty darn sick. Wes, do you have any sick picks? Hit them to me.
I've got one. And this is for anyone who's connecting any sort of wires that need to be unconnected at some point.
Whoa.
Yeah. Generally, when you're connecting two wires together, you use what's called a wire nut, or in Canada, we call them morettes, which is a very weird word. It's like a French word, I'm assuming. I wonder what that means.
I've never heard that word here in the States, but that could just be me.
You've never heard that?
Morette?
Morette, yeah.
I don't know.
That's definitely a Canadian. Canadian often has weird words for things. Anyways, those things are kind of hard to get together and whatnot. And I recently bought a big pack of these things that are called Wago connectors, or like lever nuts, they're often called. The Europeans listening to this website are going to laugh, because this has been a standard in Europe for forever. And this is just how you connect two wires together in Europe. But in Canada, we just jam them into this little plastic thing and turn it.
Oh, yeah. That's what we do. Yeah.
But you can get these like little lever nuts where you put the wires into this hole and you put the wire down, and they are nice and tight, and it is very easy to undo them. And if you need to like rewire something. So I'm doing sprinklers right now. And every single time that you twist the wire on and untwist it, it's kind of bad for the wire, and you could break it. So these are really, really handy lever nuts. You can find them at your local Home Depot or anywhere you're buying your electrical supplies.
These things look cool.
Yeah.
I never feel super confident about putting, you know, you put the two wire and you twist them and then you put the thing around. I never feel confident about that. I would feel confident about using something like this.
Yeah, because like when wires like heat up and cool down, they're constantly moving. And over time, those wire nuts can fall off. So these seem to be, it's funny that like the way we do things in North America is often never the best way. It's funny when we stumble upon something that they're doing in Europe and be like, these things are way better. It's so much easier. It's so much faster. And you could pack them into a box much more nicely.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's funny, Wes, I know you've been doing a lot of sprinkler work.
Yes.
We were selling our house. Whoever put the stake in to have the for sale sign in punctured our water line, sprinkler line in one of our zones. I know. And I didn't know. So get this. So it's been real. Like we've had several consecutive 100 degree days. And I did not notice, but I just noticed because I water via my smart device. It like does like water at sunup and sundown. And the front yard zone number 3 was just getting roasted. And I was thinking, this is a high sun zone. It's probably just getting too much sun. Let me just increase up the water here. And it wasn't until like 3 days in, I noticed that, you know, only the grass around the sign was green, because that's obviously where it was leaking. And
you're
going
to have like a sinkhole in your front yard.
Oh, my God. I was so annoyed. I called them up. I was like, can I pull the sign? I pulled the sign up. And I had to do some major sprinkler repair myself this weekend. But it's funny, you know, you get a chance to teach Landon a little bit about like, here's how we chop up the grass, and yeah, here's how we connect to the line and do a new line. I know you've been in that world, but I had a little detour into sprinkler land. Okay. My sick pick is going to be a podcast that I've sick picked before, but the second season of this is actually just finished, and it was fantastic. So this is the podcast of What Had Happened Was by Open Mike Eagle. And the first season was with Prince Paul, who's a legendary producer. And this season was on LP, who was also a legendary producer, but very different aesthetic than Prince Paul. I've been a big fan of LP forever and ever, since high school, for a very, very long time. And this covers, you know, everything from his early days of Company Flow to when he was having Def Junks, which is a hugely influential independent music label. And then all the way through, even into, there's an episode on basically each of the Run the Jewels albums, which have become just hugely celebrated. So, you know, I've seen LP in concert many, many times throughout his career. He's one of my favorite artists, and hearing the stories and the intentions behind this, I always felt like he was a smart guy. based on his music. You know, some musicians, you can just say like, I think this is all very calculated. It's all very well thought out.
Yeah.
But I almost didn't even realize just how smart and how calculated and well thought out it all was, whether or not his record label or even the release of his albums, hugely, hugely influential musician. So what had happened was, it's a fantastic podcast. They do just like an hour long interviews talking about different stages of the different producers and their careers. So give it a listen. If you haven't listened to the first season as well, the season with Prince Polly talks about all the De La Soul albums and the creation of those, Handsome Boy Modeling School. And I mean, what a treasure of a podcast. So check it out. What had happened was. All right. Shameless picks, where we plug things that we worked on. Now, I have a course that's coming out on Svelte components, where we take several types of components that you need in just about every site, and we break down how to make them sort of good, better, best type of deal. It's almost like Wes's like third JavaScript 30, where you're picking, you know, several different projects, but to a much, much smaller degree, because we're talking about Svelte foundational stuff, where we're teaching you how to work with Svelte actions. We're teaching you how to like, okay, here we have like a search filter. All right, the basic version of this search filter is you type in a text box and it filters. Well, then what happens if we added some animations or some input on focus on blur? We tweak the CSS, we make this thing a lot nicer. And we just do that with several different components, whether it's modals, toast messages, those types of deals. So check it out at leveluptutorials.com/pro. Sign up today and save 25% if you sign up for the year. You'll get access to that along with any other Svelte course content that we have for you, which is, let me tell you, it's a lot right now. We're doing a lot of Svelte stuff. We're getting Svelte-y over there, Level Up Tutorials. So if that's something you're interested in learning, we got you covered.
I will shamelessly plug all of my courses. If you want to check out, learn JavaScript, Full Stack, Advanced, React and GraphQL, React for Beginners, CSS Grid, Learn Node, you name it, you got it. Westboss.com/courses. I'm running a summer sale right now. It is hot, hot, hot. Big, big sale on all of my courses. You can use Syntax for an extra $10 off on top of the current sale. So check it out, westboss.com/courses.
That course is so hot, you're going to need to put some,
sunscreen.
Fire extinguisher. Yeah, some sunscreen on there. I was trying to work on the on top deal, but I couldn't pull it together. So, well, that's it for Syntax this week. We will hear from you or hear from us next week. I don't know what we're talking about, but it's going to be awesome. So
it's already recorded. We can see.
Yes, but I don't have that open, Wes.
Vite and Parcel 2.
Vite and Parcel 2. Look at me. I'm saying it correctly now. Thanks to Wes Boss's TikTok show. Peace out.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.